Here we go!
Hey there, my name is Bubba.
My name's Anna.
And you are tuned in to Church Nerds, a back row morning show and a part of the Love Thy Nerd podcast network. Now, this show is made possible by listeners just like you and a strong partnership between Back Row Radio and Love Thy Nerd. And aside from being a founding member of the aforementioned Love Thy Nerd, which is a ministry that exists to love and serve our nerdy neighbors, I have almost 8 years' experience in nerd culture missions and well over a decade as a professional Christian on church staff. And fun little fact about me, I did not write a fun little fact about me.
Oh, that's lame.
But I could say something. I am worthless with my left hand. Absolutely worthless.
Okay. Well, yet you have a left-handed child.
That's
so. And yeah. Mother and sister.
Yeah, none of that is my fault.
Well,
I did all I could.
Okay. Well, I'm Anna. I'm an Awana veteran, a mission year alum, a church staff wife, and a children's ministry worker. So that's all a
in order.
Yeah, I guess that is, actually. What I wanted to talk about today, though, is something that may not initially make sense for this episode, but ultimately it does.
It's very thematic, very...
I want to talk about first celebrity crushes.
Just yours, though. Like, specifically.
Well, we can hear about yours. I don't know who yours was.
We didn't talk about me having one, so...
I only know of one celebrity crush that you have, but like your first celebrity crush.
Oh, my first one? I've got it.
Who?
It's Topanga from Boy Meets World.
I don't know. I haven't even ever watched
you don't know
that show.
Man.
I'm going to have to Google this person.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I saw this little thing that was, it was funny because I think it was like a meme or something that somebody posted that was like, if your first crush had this haircut, you probably need to take some ibuprofen for your back pain. and it was like, it was the butt cut that you used to have.
Yeah.
And it was like, I don't know who all of them were. I think...
JTT
was definitely one
Jonathan
of them.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Which, to be fair, I don't know if I could define it as a crush, but I did think he was a little cutie pie.
He was cutie pie. He was Simba.
Simba. Among other things. I think
he was going to be a mighty king. A mighty king indeed.
With a very lame mane, apparently. Well,
you just needed to listen to his roar. That's all it was.
I think I saw him as like a young man in something that was a Christian film.
That checks out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Called Something About Grace.
The young men that are Christians.
Where he played the rough, like, was doing community service kid who gets taken under the wing of somebody and then is radically transformed.
Almost checks out with his character
in
Home Improvement.
Kind of like in the Buttercream Gang.
The Buttercream Gang. Get out of here.
However.
What a terrible movie, by the way. I'm sorry if that like goes and just like kicks you right in the nostalgia, but like that movie is trash. The shorts alone in that movie. I haven't thought about the Buttercream Gang.
Well. I'm glad I could bring that up for you. The other people in that photo though. So you always get Keira Knightley and Natalie Portman confused.
Because they're the same
person.
Sometimes
I get Leonardo DiCaprio and Matt Damon confused in pictures of them when they're younger. And I don't know which one. Like without looking at it, I want to say Matt Damon cuz the eyebrows.
Hey, Leo DiCaprio had kind of a butt cut there for a little bit.
Well, that's the thing, is it was like the heartthrob cut of the early 90s.
That's why I
Holy
had it.
Holy cow. Don't ever do it again. Anyway.
I did it a couple of years ago for a podcast.
You did?
An episode of Beard Bros. Yeah, we did a 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was bad.
Oh, dear.
It was bad. And I didn't prep for it. I just was like, hey, I have hair.
But the problem is with a beard, though.
It was weird. Yeah, I mean,
that is weird. Nobody. It was clean shaven all the way. Also, in this context, it was people who were not yet growing facial hair, which is what makes it a little weird.
For context, don't Google butt cut. I'll just tell you what it is if you don't know what it is. It's a part down the middle.
The center part with the kind of longish, almost bowl cut hair.
Yes, almost to the ears or
although
sometimes
Jonathan
a little bit
Taylor
past
Thomas's
it.
Was almost mullety. He had like the
had
long
locks
in the back.
Yeah.
But real talk, celebrity, like first
butt
actual
cuts aside.
Crush.
Yeah.
And this was kind of before I didn't really have crushes at this point.
Uh-huh.
And I thought everybody was like stark raving mad over Justin Timberlake. And yeah. I was like, that's dumb. It's dumb to have a crush on a celebrity. And then I went and saw Lord of the Rings and I saw Legolas the Elf.
Ooh-wee.
And felt feelings
Orlando
for him.
Bloom. Is it hot in here? Is it just me?
And it was very weird, I guess, because he's an elf. Also, he looked nothing like himself. Orlando Bloom did not look like Orlando Bloom in that movie. And I really feel like we've talked about this before in an episode. I don't know why. I feel like we have. And
we
so
say
if,
a lot.
If we're saying this again, I'm sorry. But that's the whole thing is like that bleach blonde straight hair. Definitely no facial hair. I don't know what that weird stuff is that he lets grow on his face. He just needs to stop that.
He can't. It's his carryover from his
and then, like,
Pirates of the Caribbean days.
Orlando Bloom has brown eyes and that just doesn't do it for me, apparently. Like, it has to be the blue contacts, the bleach blonde hair with the little braid.
Oh, man.
Whew.
Man.
Yeah. Hot, hot, hot.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's why I look the way that I do. Have you ever seen me?
Yes.
To remind her what a real man looks like.
One of the nerdiest things about me is just that little fact.
Yeah, and we may end up getting into this later as we delve a lot of it deeper into Lord of the Rings and what have ye. But that Middle Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Is like your nerd mecca.
Yeah, I didn't like full on cosplay to go to see the movies. It definitely was a tradition that, like, I don't think we went opening night, but it was, I mean, we went real soon.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I didn't cosplay, but I maybe did like an elf braid thing.
Maybe. Who could tell?
And I mean, yeah, I was just all about that elf life. Aesthetically, elves. In practice, hobbits are where it's at.
Okay, I don't even know where to go with that statement.
Wouldn't you rather live in the Shire than with the elves in a tree?
I don't know, man.
And just like ride around on horses and be boring?
I do kind of enjoy the idea of second breakfast served all day, kind of a deal.
They eat all the time. They hobbits, drink all the time.
Hobbits are fun.
They smoke.
Pipe weed. Yeah.
They smoke their pipe weed and just lay in the fields in their thickets and generally just like be busy, but only about certain things and don't have adventures.
No. Now you're just quoting it at this point.
I mean, that's just the thing.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I am. I'm a homebody to the max. Like, to the max. And
sometimes,
I'm not all about adventures.
Sometimes
I don't like
driving
through the mountains.
Sometimes you want to get out of the house and I'm like, let's not.
If there's a dragon on top of a mountain somewhere, just let that thing be there and just stay at home.
But what if you talk to the dragon? And what if he talked back to you and it was Benedict Cumberbatch? And he kept saying, Penguin.
Penguin.
Fun fact, he cannot say that word.
He's embarrassed about it. It's fine, though.
Well, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we are going to be talking about some weird stuff. It is going to be very Lord of the Rings centric and heavy. But something happened in the perfect crossover between the church world and the nerd world. And we're going to come back and talk about that. And so if you want to know more about the cryptic thing that I'm saying, because I really want you to come back, you probably already read the title. No
probably
big deal.
Probably so.
But just come back after the break and listen to some sweet tunes in the meantime. But we're going to be right back here on Back Row Radio. We are back with Church Nerds, and this week we're going to talk about, like I said, something that's a little bit weird, a little bit different, a lot of bit confusing.
Definitely confusing.
Most of the time...
A lot of just why.
Yeah. A lot of the time we were preparing for this episode was just like you and I going back and forth and going, huh? Yeah, but what? Why?
And some facepalming.
A lot of facepalm. A lot of facepalm. So without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into our main topic for this week. Like every once in a while, there is this event that happens, this thing that falls perfectly in the neighborhood on the Venn diagram for us, which is the overlap between nerd world and the church world. And so one such moment was brought to our attention this week, and we wanted to share with you. And so, Anna, take it away.
Oh, all right. Well, so like beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, I want to hear you do
newsreel.
Yeah.
Ticker tape on the bottom, just surfacing from an event that happened over a month ago.
In June. Yeah.
June 12th. So leadership at an event called Transformation Now, which aired on Bethel TV. Mm-hmm. The leadership attempted to cast out the spirit of racism with the staff of Gandalf.
Podcast over. Yeah. Like just
Gandalf from
Lord of the Rings,
the wizard from the beloved trilogy of J.R.R. Tolkien. Mm-hmm. And even more specifically, I'm going to say is Peter Jackson's interpretation.
100%.
Ian
McKellen's
yes
interpretation of Peter Jackson's interpretation of J.R.R. Tolkien's Gandalf from Lord of the Rings.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it was
thus saith the Lord.
Kind of specific, I think. Whether or not it was their intention to end up like center fire in Christian media because they were like, there are accusations of them practicing witchcraft in their service. I'm guessing that probably was not what they were going for, but it is definitely what is happening.
I can guarantee you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they did not go into that with that idea.
I don't know if they went into it with any idea, if I'm being
that's fair
honest. So, I mean, there are weird people doing weird things in churches, and that has been kind of a thing since the beginning of Christianity. I think Paul spent a lot of time going and cleaning up some of that
big time.
But I mean, in the world of weird things that happen in churches, this is like, you know, it's kind of up there.
Bethel's pretty well known for amongst conservative Christian circles.
Which is something that we want to address.
Yes.
Which is like our, I guess, intention with this specific podcast.
Yeah. We do not, this will not be a Bethel bash. That's not what we're here for. We're here to address a very specific thing that happened that the world is looking at. Mm-hmm. People that are outside of the purview of Christian media are looking at this thing and scratching their heads, laughing out loud, severely berating and attacking on both sides, Christian and otherwise. And so we just want to take a look at it and examine it. We're going to ask a couple of specific questions about it.
Which, I mean, like we said, Bethel, they've been sort of bearing scrutiny from the conservative Christian community for quite a while because they have some practices and theology that's like, you know. And so when we were going in, like, we had to research to talk about this. Yeah. And in all honesty, it wasn't Bethel staff that did this.
Not directly.
So Bill Johnson is the senior, like,
head honcho, El Jefe over there.
Yeah, I think senior leader, they call him at Bethel. He was speaking at this conference.
Right.
And the conference was where this happened. And that I don't think he was on the stage doing the thing, but then it was aired.
Yeah, on Bethel TV.
On Bethel TV.
Yeah.
And so then all the people who are already kind of Bethel haters are like, we told you so. We just, you know, they're showing their true colors and whatnot. Yeah. So what happened? What was the thing? How did it go down?
Yeah, you can hear the words. Bethel uses Gandalf's staff to cast out spirit of racism, and that still doesn't quite paint the picture. If anything, it just leaves you with more questions. Lucky for us,
still going to have those questions after you watch it.
Lucky for us, there is a video that exists of this thing happening, and we're not going to play it because you need to see it.
Right.
This is very visual. Yeah. There are a lot of words that happen, which is, you know, fine. But it would be terrible audio podcast,
right.
Radio segment.
So link in
we're gonna link
show notes.
For sure. Please go and watch it. It is hard to watch.
It's very cringy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I say that. Now, like for me, it was hard to watch because, again, kind of knowing a little bit of what I know about Bethel and theology and stuff like that, and also really we'll talk about this later. What I know about Lord of the Rings and from a nerdy standpoint. Mm-hmm. And it just, for me, I watched a lot of it through my own fingers.
Right.
And so it was super cringe for me.
Yeah.
Big time cringe. But.
And I mean, if you watch it, it kind of looks like nobody really knows what's happening the whole time. Like they have this very loose plan of what's going to happen, but there's not, they don't have like a click track.
No.
For it, if you're in like musical terminology, it's just not, this was not necessarily listed in a program with an order of how it was going to go. It's just kind of like fly by the seat of your pants last second.
And the clip says that, like they address that at the very beginning of the clip. They thank everybody for sticking around and for bearing with us as we figure this out, because as the conference was going on, there was one of the women had a vision, had a prophetic vision based on some of the things that had been said and portrayed, you know, to her through the other, you know, leaders of the conference. And so it just was like, had a vision. Let's.
So now this is going to be an addition to our like program of events.
And so nobody had any idea what was going down.
So the gist of it is she speaks a little piece about the spirit of racism in America and that we're all guilty of participating in it and that it needs to end in the church, and gives a sort of synopsis of this moment in Tolkien's book, specifically Fellowship of the Ring. And it's the scene with the Balrog and
specifically the movie. Like that's what she's drawing on.
She never
mentions the book. She is an actress.
Uh-huh.
And so she's like, I'm an artist and these things ring with me. And I'm like, man, I get that. I'm here for that. So she references, you know, they're in the mines of Moria and you know, they're crossing the bridge and the Balrog's following them. Mm-hmm. And then Gandalf turns around and you shall not pass. This is the moment.
And so let's all take hold of a staff.
Oh, yes.
And say together.
This is very important. Has the staff.
Yes.
There is a staff.
An actual representation of a wizard staff.
Yeah, replica something. It's not Gandalf's staff. We could go into a thousand.
I don't think it had this crystal in it.
Didn't have the crystal, didn't have the pipe, had none of that stuff, you know? So it's like,
I'm still skeptical about the pipe thing. I got to go back and watch it.
Get out of here. It's there. So like it wasn't Gandalf's staff. It was a representation of the giant wooden stick. So that's and she's got a cloak.
It wasn't the right color and it didn't have the little like leaf thing, but
I kind of felt like she looked a little bit more like Rey
of the Hobbit. A little bit
More like Rey.
Yeah, maybe. but a traveler's cloak sort of look.
Yeah.
And
she was doing a little bit of cosplay.
Yeah. Just, you know, creating a little bit of drama.
I can get behind it.
Which is not unheard of.
Mm.
But the weird part starts when she says everybody needs to hold on to this staff.
So there are senior leaders on stage,
all
by the way.
All on stage with her, yeah. Everybody needs to hold on to this staff. And she kind of tries to include the audience in that moment.
Yeah.
Mentions that they need to have anointed their doorposts.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're all going to say together in unison. She says, thou shalt not pass.
Well, I mean,
which bothered me. Because it's actually you shall not pass.
It is what it is, yeah.
But they do this, and then, like, she makes them repeat it a number of times.
Three times.
And it was that.
Well, and they're slamming the staff.
Yes.
Everybody's got a hand on the staff on stage. And we'll talk about the how things happen here in a minute, like the order of things, because it's important. But one time they stamp the staff and then they say it, like they stamp it on thou, which is not what Gandalf did. But it just, like, everything seemed very weird and disjointed. And
you could see the look
on people's faces.
It wasn't, a little cringy on their faces, to be honest, at certain points.
So this was a raw, like, fresh run of this.
Yes.
And they're telling people, you need to go home and do this.
Mm-hmm.
You need to, in order, you need to go home, anoint your doorpost, and then stand in front of your door with your staff and do this three times.
But confusingly as well was, like, we are declaring the spirit of racism dead as of in the ecclesia, in the church, as of tonight, June 12th.
Yeah.
At
whenever 8:30 it was,
probably 10:30 p.m. California time.
Yeah.
Pacific Standard?
Yeah, the Pacific.
Pacific,
yeah.
Pacific? I don't know. Anyway. So that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the Twitter eventually got a hold of this.
One month later.
There was a tweet that was like, you know, people have been accusing Bethel of practicing witchcraft.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, they do weird things, but witchcraft shows footage of Bethel
on stage with actual wizard staff. You know, it's like, and then the end was like the Will Smith's face from the Red Table interview. And so, like, it's a real thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not a joke.
No,
this is not sarcastic in any way, shape, or form.
It wasn't a satire.
Nothing.
Thing. This was actually something that happened.
This was an apostolic decree. That was the phrasing that they used. It was a prophetic apostolic vision and decree that they wanted everybody to go home and do. So this was not allegorical. This was not, just a point of reference of, do you remember that one time in the movie, and wasn't that cool? And what if we could symbolic? This was a go home and do this thing that we did not really show you how to do very well on stage.
No. Also, do people just have wizard staff in their stabs in their houses?
I want to believe that they tweeted out like an Amazon wish list that
several decent sticks that have fallen out of trees.
Yeah, maybe it had to be a specific one. Like, I have so much.
Would a broom work?
I think you're crossing over into another area, which is the question. This is the first question that we want to ask, because, like, it's so dang important to really frame this properly, because one of the things that people have been saying is Bethel practices witchcraft. And so
burn. It's a witch.
It's a witch.
Burn her.
I'll go better. So, you know, it's one of the things that we want to do, and that, like, very specifically, this is a question I wanted to ask, is it witchcraft? Like, is it?
Yeah. That was my main thing, is what is witchcraft? And not necessarily even like how is witchcraft defined now?
We're not talking
now.
Hocus pocus.
What,
you know?
When God is like, don't do it.
Yeah.
What was that? And so I did a little bit of research on that. So first of all, when we talk about witchcraft in the Bible, a lot of like the commandment against it is in Deuteronomy 18:9-14. So I'm going to read that. And I'm reading this out of the New Living Translation because the NASB was a little bit kind of lofty to understand. So Moses is speaking to the people, and this is when they're getting ready or to take over the land of Canaan.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, when you enter the land your Lord God is giving you, so Canaan, be very careful not to imitate the detestable customs of the nations living there. For example, never sacrifice your son or daughter as a burnt offering. Versions read, never make your son or daughter pass through the fire. So that was basically child sacrifice, and that was performed on the regs in, you know, these
big
civilizations,
Baal worship and stuff like that. There are a lot of disturbing pictures of artist representations of like mouths of monsters. Molech and stuff like that.
So if Bethel ever is doing this, then that's an obvious no. No,
we'll have another episode about
that. No human sacrifice. And do not let your people practice fortune telling or use sorcery or interpret omens or engage in witchcraft.
There's that word.
Bing, bing, bing. Or cast spells or function as mediums or psychics or call forth the spirits of the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. It is because the other nations have done these detestable things that the Lord your God will drive them out ahead of you. But you must be blameless before the Lord your God. The nations you are about to displace consult sorcerers and fortune tellers, but the Lord your God forbids you to do such things. So I was looking like, you know, it's important to me to understand like Hebrew root words and stuff like that. And so I was looking up just some of these terms and trying to compare them with what are we looking at with this event? And was that even close to the same kind of thing? And kind of what I uncovered. So we've got like divination, which is false vision.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, kind of like type of thing.
Rolling bones or interpreting entrails, trying to use different ways.
Yeah, like so that's the term that the New Living Translation associates with fortune telling. So it's kind of, you know, trying to figure out the future a little bit from, you know, weird things.
Sure.
Interpreting omens and sorcery are both kind of associated with like hissing.
Yeah.
Muttering magical words or incantations.
Parcel tongue. Got it.
That's right. So in the Old Testament, yikes. Okay, so.
Right. Don't worry about this.
In the Old Testament, this word for sorcery or sorcerer was really only used in relation to idol worship. But the one that was interesting and that we kind of focused on a little bit was about casting a spell.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, it basically means to unite or to tie a magic knot. So it's like, you know, using this specific group of elements of something, and that together they somehow have a magical result.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, I mean, that's the only thing out of all of those things.
Yeah.
To say that this event was witchcraft, that's the only tie that I could make, potentially.
Yeah, potentially, right? Because we were talking about this, and I kept coming back to one of my favorite shows, and it's nailed it on Netflix, right? So, to me, you know, I have this idea in my brain of, you know, witches and stuff that I've seen in movies and you know, video games and, you know, board games and all sorts of stuff, like the different mediums that I've seen witches and stuff like that in. But really, when you break it down and you kind of peel back a lot of the, I don't know what the media, you know, kind of the flying around on brooms kind of, you know, the exaggeration of it all.
The cauldrons of boiling ingredients.
Witches, woo.
Always a toad in there somewhere. Yeah. And lots of warts.
Lots of warts, poison apples, like a lot of that stuff. You know, I mean, just the idea when we say witch, you're like, oh, yeah, Sabrina, absolutely.
Pointy hats.
Pointy hats. you know, Halloween, all sorts of stuff. But when you really pull all of that back, it, like, witchcraft and Wicca and all that stuff like that, those, that is a legitimate religion that exists in the right. world today.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is very, it's very herbal, very earth healing, very, you know, being at one with the elements around mm-hmm. you kind of a deal. But they do spells and incantations and stuff like that. And that's a legitimate thing that they do and that they practice. And we're not going to get into the weeds of all of that. But one thing that is very specific about it is how they do it. Like, that is, that's the difference in...
like, actual method.
Yeah. So for me, the reason that, like, Nailed It comes into this is kind of comical, but kind of on the head for me a little bit here. It's important how they practice. You know, we lose that as Christians a lot of time because it's, well, how does it make you feel? Like, how do you do this? Like, our rituals and our, you know, things that we do and have done for hundreds of thousands of years or whatever, like that, we've lost that along the way. And every different sect of Christianity has a different way that they do almost the same thing. You know, how do we do baptism? How do we do this? How do we, you know, how do we do communion? Like, mm-hmm. we have different ways that we do them. And the
baptism.
Same.
Baptism.
Yeah. The same can be said, you know, in different variations of, like, you know, Wicca and stuff like that. But it still comes down to, like, this is the recipe. This is the formula. This is the way that you do it, because it's not an accident. Like, if you're trying to do X, Y, Z, this is the way to do it. This is the recipe. And to me, if we're going to take what Bethel did, I have to take it loosely, as witchcraft, it was Nailed It witchcraft.
Very poorly done.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, there's confusion on the stage. Nobody really knows. Barely came up with it this morning. I mean, that is the equivalent of saying...
words not quite right. Timing not quite right.
Yeah, make the whale cake.
Hey, I did that.
I know, and we nailed it.
Hey.
But anyway, like, that, to me, that's kind of what I think is, like, did it look like what witchcraft seeks to be or is or anything like that? You know, I'm not advocating go and do witchcraft, please don't hear me say that, but, like, it's very ritualistic, it's very follow these steps in this order kind of a deal. And I mm-hmm. think they tried to do that on stage, but they didn't, because they weren't practiced, they didn't know. And then to turn around and say, now you go home and do this, I really truly feel like that was dangerous.
Maybe not a great idea.
That was a
Maybe
terrible.
Maybe not something we should repeat this experiment.
Terrible idea. Because as a Christian, I, you know, I believe that we battle against forces that are not of this world. Mm-hmm. And when we do stuff and engage in things that we do not understand and we do them haphazardly, I think that there are bad things that can come from that.
Right. I mean, so, like, we're talking about playing Bloody Mary and seances and little Ouija board things.
Yeah, and maybe not those things specifically, okay?
But like, dabbling into yes. something, and then things sometimes actually happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, like, I, you know, hey, not trying to freak you out or anything, but the fact of the matter is, I personally do not believe that what they did on stage was witchcraft. And if it was, it was the sloppiest witchcraft I've ever seen. I mean, we're talking like year one Harry Potter stuff, like Ron Weasley trying to cast spells.
On the train on the way to Hogwarts.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like, it just, is it any wonder that the spirit of racism was not cast out that night?
It doesn't seem like it has been cast out so far to me in the church, just as an observer.
So, though crazy amounts of weird, probably not witchcraft. And I really think that it's important that we classify that properly, because it's really easy to go, the hand of staff, I did it on stage, that's witchcraft. Mm-hmm. Nah, man. Mm-hmm. Like, probably to people who practice witchcraft and Wicca, they're probably offended.
Yeah, when we were talking about this, I was like, well, this is like if somebody was like, oh yeah, Christians, the Jehovah Witnesses just came to my door, and us being like, no.
Yeah. Oh, Mormonism. What? Absolutely. Yeah, I love that's Christian.
Not Christian.
Well, that's a whole nother conversation. Thought we were done.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But we do need to end this segment. We're going to come back here in a short bit after the break. And when we do, we're going to be talking about the nerdy side of it. Okay. So yeah. We did spiritual side, barely, just skimmed across the surface.
Really? I mean, and we would be so willing to have a deeper and longer conversation with this personally.
Yeah.
It's just hard on a podcast.
Not to say that we figured it all out, but we would definitely love to have the conversation. So hit us up on Church Nerds. Hit us up on Church Nerds. How about you hit us up on Twitter at Church Nerds LTN?
We have our own platform.
Let's talk about it. I mean, I'm interested and Anna's interested in having that conversation with you. But when we do return, we are going to be talking about the Lord of the Rings nerdy side of it. That's the other thing that we can add to this conversation.
Mm-hmm. And what were they trying to do?
Yeah. And what did Gandalf do?
Right.
Like, what was his role and what happened on
that
bridge?
Why was that story so significant that she wanted to bring it up?
Absolutely. Because I do think that... Well, we'll get into it here in a minute. All right. Hey, we'll be right back here on Back Row Radio.
Round two, fight.
Welcome back to Church Nerds, and if you are just now tuning in to Back Row Radio or on the Live365 app, in the last segment we talked about a weird thing that happened recently involving a wizard staff and the spirit of racism in America. So... I can't, that sentence is just ridiculous. So now we want to move past that a bit. We talked religiously about it. I wouldn't say necessarily Christianly.
We talked religiously about it? Or we talked about it from a religious standpoint?
We talked about it from a religious standpoint.
Got it. Okay.
I don't want to say we talked about it Christianly because we did talk about, you know, Wicca and witchcraft and, you know, the herbalism and spirituality and stuff like that. So we talked about it from a religious standpoint. Now, we have a Christian worldview.
Right.
And our view on that, spoiler alert, was that it wasn't necessarily textbook witchcraft.
Yeah. To make that accusation, it's reaching.
It's a harsh generalization of it.
You can disagree with Bethel for a number of reasons, but that's a pretty
wait till they actually do it. And then you'll know. And maybe there are some other things that you can point towards that would be more more accurately witchcraft than that.
Sure.
Point at those things. Mm-hmm. This was just weird.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But now it's time to actually talk about the Lord of the Rings. So, I mean, there's a good reason that this woman wanted to bring up that this moment in that story.
Yeah.
Because the Lord of the Rings, I mean, this story has been well beloved by Christians for like decades.
Oh, yeah.
Quite a while, which it's kind of funny because like hopping a train on off of platform 9 3/4 is super, that was off limits
yeah.
for sure. But a journey through Middle Earth
Let's
is
go.
Definitely kosher.
Let's go.
Definitely acceptable and maybe even respectable.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that
preachable.
There are wizards in both Harry Potter's universe and Frodo Baggins' universe. So I think, yeah, what's the difference?
The main difference is that we don't see how the wizards are trained in Lord of the Rings. So
So what's the deal? Why is Lord of the Rings okay? Why do Christians find such powerful imagery, I should say.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be finding power in it because I think that's the question here.
Yeah.
But powerful imagery in the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I obviously, first and foremost, it was written by a Christian author and it was written basically and edited in a Christian cohort with C.S. Lewis and, you know, a couple other people. And you and I have gone round and round about...
That's an exaggeration. We disagree.
We went round and round. We kind of agreed to disagree on, you know, the intentional allegoric nature.
What I have heard is that unlike C.S. Lewis's works, the Chronicles of Narnia, which mm-hmm. were intentionally written as an allegory to Christianity.
Right.
And kind of the great story
mm-hmm.
That J.R.R. Tolkien's works were not written intentionally as an allegory. People definitely find allegorical elements. I mean, and really, whether or not that was intended, people find them because J.R.R. Tolkien was a believer.
Yeah.
And his worldview was inseparable from his universe.
Yes. And you, like I said, you think about how he wrote them, who he wrote them with, you know, not that, you know, C.S. Lewis gets a byline or anything like that, but like that was the cohort. And I think that those were the influences that were on him. And that's why I like, yeah, you can say, well, it was an intention. I did not write it with Jesus and the story of man in mind. And I look at that and go, yeah, you did. I'm like, get out of here, man. You sure you didn't. But it doesn't matter at the end of the day. Who cares?
Right. Because, I mean, Star Wars isn't written as an allegory, but I think we can find ways to use it allegorically.
Yeah.
Like, you know, sometimes there's just a moment where something resonates with you.
Yeah.
But it's just we find a lot of those moments in The Lord of the Rings. And Gandalf. As a character. Well, I mean, you could talk about him.
Gandalf. So, like, this is
now,
where...
Now, to be clear, you have not read...
The Silmarillion.
The actual Lord of the Rings books. But you've seen all the movies.
I have had them read to me. Thank you very much. Yeah, you read.
No, only The Hobbit.
Oh,
I have only
Hobbit.
Read you The Hobbit. The Lord of the Rings, see, the thing is, The Hobbit is actually a children's story. And The Lord of the Rings are very heavy.
Yeah, very, very adult. So, Gandalf. This is the crux of the story. It was his symbolic staff that was used on the stage at the conference.
This is the crux of the story of this podcast.
Yes.
Not of the story of the Lord of the Rings.
A lot of it revolves around Gandalf. So,
well, it's hard to say what the crux is. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, you're like, well, it's the ring or it's Frodo or it's, you know, the rise and fall of, you know, Sauron or like it just there's so many main characters in that series that it really lends itself to a lot of people latching on to one thing or another. It's great. It legitimately gives you a journey through Middle Earth. And so, but if I had to really kind of look at it from 1,000 feet away, I might kind of focus on Gandalf.
You think?
I think so.
I don't think I would.
I do, because Gandalf is a character that he perpetuates through the whole thing. So in the lore of, I wouldn't even say Middle Earth because it goes back before that. When you pick up in Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Ring, you're squarely in the Third Age.
Well, because actually Gandalf's role begins before.
Gandalf was created well before The Hobbit.
Well, I know, but you know.
Yeah, so I mean, we're not going to get too deep in the weeds because holy moly, there are weeds.
Definitely, people have fought. They spend a lot. You were looking up a summary about Gandalf, and like the first sentence of it, unless you have been very deeply engrossed in the universe of Middle Earth, or even I feel like Middle Earth wouldn't even cover it.
No,
you're just not going to understand any of it.
No,
I didn't.
Well, I don't think that you're meant to.
I'm just not willing to spend quite that much time studying it, I guess.
Yeah, Tolkien did actually a really majestic job of creating basically a universe.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote languages and all sorts of stuff, written and spoken. And so it was crazy the way that he created this. But goes back, and I'm not going to use all of the weird names. We'll put the link in the description, all right? Because I don't want to butcher them on this podcast. But Gandalf was not Gandalf in the beginning. So the God character, okay, he ends up creating a bunch of beings. And these are the, like, archangel characters of the story. So again, I'm going to be using, like, Christian, you know, allegories for how I'm interpreting what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
God character creates out of like this musical moment, creates these characters, and they end up becoming, you know, like they're the wizards in the world. And so it gets really interesting really quick when you start thinking about Saruman and how, you know, he was one of the wizards, but then sides with, you know, Sauron. Mm-hmm. And so like kind of that fall from, sound familiar a little bit here? Mm-hmm. You know, like there are tons of that stuff there, but Gandalf himself ends up coming down and they become these advisors to the Council of Man, basically.
And hobbits and elves and dwarves.
Middle Earth. Okay. So like down to the world, and comes as not this, you know, angelic creature.
Right.
But as an old man.
Mm-hmm.
Because the idea behind that was.
Who makes amazing fireworks.
Yeah. It's good. Whizzy poppers. What are they called? Whiz bangers. What does he call them?
Whiz poppers.
Whiz poppers. Yeah.
I think so.
If that was the only thing he did, magical in the whole dang book or movie, that'd be the coolest thing in the world. Like, sign me up. But anyway, so he comes down and like they all come down. They become advisors. And the idea was that, you know, these creatures in Middle Earth would be more apt to take counsel from an old wise man than they would, you know, an angelic creature. And so that, you think about that, like this is the power that is inside of these wizards. So next time you go and you watch Two Towers and you're watching, you know, Saruman and, you know, Gandalf fight on the top of, all the way through the tower and then on the top of the tower, just think about that. This is a big battle. This is not just...
Was that in the Two Towers?
I think it was in the Two Towers.
I don't think so.
Was it in the first one?
Yeah, because he...
Had to have been in the first one.
Yeah, because he was still Gandalf
moment.
The Grey.
Yeah.
And when he did that with
Saruman.
Right.
Yeah, so anyway, think about that next time you see that or read that in the book or the movie. Like this is a big like cosmic battle that's happening, literally between like good and evil.
Right.
And you know, pure and impure intentions. And so like this is Gandalf. And he was considered the wisest by those who knew him and who he was and where he came from and what he represented. He was not considered that by people who didn't respect him. He was considered an old fool and all sorts of stuff. But by the elves, who are, let's just be real, like they're the upper echelon of the creatures that exist, right? Boyfriend material.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Well, jinx.
No, you can't jinx me.
Oh, okay.
Witchcraft. you know, so like that's what we see. And he actually ends up becoming, spoiler alert, Gandalf the White. And he like comes back and he's riding on this.
How dare you spoil this story?
Well, if you haven't seen it by now. Comes back as Gandalf the White, like a big, awesome, bright staff, white robes, white horse, whole nine yards. So this is what we see when he comes back, and then he has great power. So like that's the bookends of what happens. And he always has like these pure intent. He wants to help out Frodo. He's trying to get the ring. He's always trying to like guide him in the right direction because he doesn't have a feeling that these are the things that are going to happen. He knows that these are the things that are going to happen. You got to get the ring back to Mount Doom.
And he couldn't do it himself.
You have to have a fellowship. It has to be you. Like these are specific things that need to happen in order for...
Because he would want to use the ring for good if he had it.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, like...
Well, no, what is it? He just says, don't tempt me, Frodo.
Yeah, and
when
he
Frodo
gets real mad
like,
at him.
You do it.
He gets real mad at him. And so, like it's there's even a moment in the story where... Like Gandalf, the necromancer, like that part. And like everybody's like, oh, you know, it's this necromancer, it's all that stuff, it's this, it's that. But Gandalf knows, he's like, that is not just any necromancer. That's Sauron. Like, I know this. And if you go back into his story, like, you get, read the Silmarillion or just Google it. But you have, like, when Gandalf is actually sent down, basically commissioned to be a part of this group that goes down that, you know, helps out these, you know, these people, this people group, he actually does not want to do that because he is afraid of Sauron, because bad guys will basically do anything, right? Like, to do what they need to do. And, you know, Batman always beats people up, doesn't kill people, you know? So, like, there are barriers and stuff like that. But dancing around the bookends of what's happening here, and why would somebody want to use that particular moment on a bridge as an allegory or as an actual thing to do to stop something from happening?
Well, I mean, so that's the whole thing, is it's awesome to find moments like that. And especially, I mean, that is such a powerful moment. Just some of the things that he says. I mean, the "you shall not pass," the way that he is standing as sort of
with crazy
not
eyes.
A gatekeeper, but like a form of protection between, it's not the ultimate evil, but definitely like getting on up there.
A bad one.
He's
yeah.
really bad.
Balrogs
and
are
standing
bad.
In protection, and that there's like one way between him and this, like he alone is what's in between yeah. them. And anyway, he's like, "Go back to the shadow." I love that line. It is super powerful, but what
there's
is
so
like
much stuff in
what's
there.
The difference between, like, we talked about this. It's one thing to be like, "That is a great moment. Do you see this wizard staff? And let's think about, like, this is what this represents."
Yeah. What is that moment in your life?
You know, and to bring that in, because we've all been there when there's been a sermon illustration.
Yep.
I've seen like clay, you know, everybody gets a little piece of clay or yeah. Having artists drawing a picture on stage. And there's one moment in our church
yeah.
where our pastor was doing a sermon on the story of the prodigal son.
Yep.
And this moment where he literally shaves his head
yep.
on stage, and everybody's like,
"He didn't shave his head on stage."
He didn't.
He didn't shave his head on stage.
So he came.
It
in?
Was like a two-part sermon.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, he
it
was,
involved shaving his head.
Yeah,
and it was so it was dramatic.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what was going on here, is like this drama and really
oh absolutely
implanting
yeah.
this thing in your mind. So what's the difference between that and then sort of bringing it into practice?
Yeah, I think the main...
Something fictional.
The main difference is that our pastor did not go home and tell us to shave our heads.
Yeah.
Like, it's seeing this, understanding the idea, understanding the power of the moment, and there's so much more. If you examine what actually happened in that scene, rather than just taking that one little piece, like... Gandalf himself, he's the last one out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he makes sure everybody else gets across the bridge,
right?
And he stops, and he turns around and then faces the Balrog,
mm-hmm.
and then ultimately sacrifices himself, you know, so mm-hmm. that things can continue on. Again, he knew what was happening. He knew what needed to be done. He knew the Balrog. He understood like all of this stuff. He had a contextual understanding
right.
of the event.
Uh-huh.
He didn't hear that morning.
But he knew what was at stake.
Like, oh, well, everybody grab the staff. If everybody had grabbed the staff, they would all have been dead.
What do you mean? Oh.
In the scene, like if they had all
it.
Grabbed
I'm
the staff.
I'm sorry, I was
you know, so like,
thinking the wrong thing.
So to me, I look at that and I go, close.
Right.
It's super cool.
And I
loved
think
it.
We can, so that, you know, kind of the last thing that we're talking about is like, how do we keep a balance between appreciating allegory and in storytelling?
Yeah.
And you know, as nerds, how do we navigate that? And I think that it would be cool, and we've done similar things. One time our pastor preached through C.S. Lewis, The Chronicles of, or not specifically The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yeah.
And just drawing out certain elements and making spiritual ties.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you can do that with a lot of things, and it's really cool to do that. We just have to be really careful of bringing a practice from something extra biblical into our worship. That to me is the that's a clear line.
There's a moment where it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at this conference, that moment was go home and do this. And for me, it crossed the line. I mean, I think. And we know this because we've seen it a lot in our lives too. It's like there are, even in the nerd world, there are people that take LARPing, which is live action role play, or role play gaming too far. And it becomes a part of who they are, not a part of It becomes a part of who they are, not just what they do, but like this is their person. This is their identity. And you can't do that because that is meant as an escape. It's not meant as actual real life.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lord of the Rings, it's a work of fiction. If you ask Tolkien, it's not even allegorical. Like, just stop.
Just enjoy the story.
But even with the Lord, with C.S. Lewis and Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, we went through that as the sermon series. But we didn't sacrifice a lion on a, you know, on a stone tablet. You know, it's like,
and there are things that it's like, as nerds, I think. So spiritism is one of the things that God spoke to his people about, and that's when you're seeking to be involved in the spirit world outside of these ways that he gave us to do them.
Yeah.
We need to be very wary of that and kind of not do it.
Yeah.
So do you want me to tell the story about the guy at the library?
I think that you should. And before you do, I just think it's very important from like a nerd standpoint to understand, and also from a Christian standpoint, or, you know, if you're agnostic or atheist or whatever, it doesn't matter to me. But I brought up the idea of contextual knowledge just a little bit of ago. I brought it up with Anna before we started recording because I wanted that to be a central point for the conversation, in that if you just look at that one moment in Lord of the Rings, period, just that moment, you lose really the power of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't look at it contextually and holistically, and we do that as Christians all the time,
mm-hmm.
with scripture and stories and events and stuff like that. You know, everybody's favorite, Jeremiah 29:11.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know the plans I have for you, to grow you and prosper you, not to harm you. It's like that chapter sucks to read.
Yeah.
It's a tough chapter, but we take one of the most hopeful and inspiring bumper stickers that we possibly can out of that. And I don't, as a nerd, that's what hit me about this, was it was like, well, you missed it. Yeah, that was cool. But now you're trying to turn that into an actual practice. There's not even a legitimate context for that. You took an actual practice of stamping a staff and saying specific words, but that was meant to stop the Balrog. Like, if you want to be literal about it, you got to be literal about it. You can't say, well, that Balrog for me now represents the spirit of racism. It's like, are we actually going to do it, or are we not actually going to do it? Because in Lord of the Rings, that's not what that was. It was the Balrog that was trying to kill them. Also, it's worth noting that the guy that stamped the staff got pulled down into a deep, dark pit. Like,
yeah,
we'll cut it off at the end there, and mm-hmm. you know, not worry about mm-hmm. the rest of it, but.
Yeah, the rest of that scene is just a lot of crying.
A lot of crying.
It was very hard.
Yeah, and also, you know, Boromir, don't save him. Leave him alone. Come on, Frodo. Get out of here. Okay, you have a really great story.
Well, just kind of about like dabbling in the worlds of spiritism and, you know, I don't know, when you get into some of these weird things, there's just this, I think it's funny. It is serious, but
a little funny.
The story is a little bit funny because I was in the library and I was at the circulation desk talking to, I was checking out books or whatever. Yeah. And this guy comes in who...
Sarakaya comes in. Got it.
Who?
Sarakaya comes in.
I don't know who that
Who's
is.
Who's Sarakaya?
I don't know what...
Who's Sarakaya? From The Office? When Jim and Pam are talking on the phone and he's like distracted.
So I don't remember this.
Pam is talking to him and she says, Sarakaya comes in. He's like, who's Sarakaya comes in? She's like, no, Sarakaya comes in. Jim, I need you to pay attention. Listen to me. Anyway, continue.
Okay. Anyway, he was pretty, I don't know. He looked like the loner type. And it just, if you have a stereotypical D&D player in your mind, just the really tropey one.
Yeah.
He was that guy.
Yeah.
And he comes up to the librarian and he's like, do you have any books on magic? And the librarian is like, yes, but what are we talking about here? Like, are we talking about card tricks? Are we talking about illusions? Are you wanting to, you know, is it like pulling rabbits out of hats? Is it magic? Is it? And he's like, magic. It was all in that moment. I was just like, oh my gosh. And she's like, yeah, sure. And, you know, points him in the direction of the books that he is looking to acquire that day. And I just was like, this did not just happen next to me. It's uncomfortable and kind of comical. And I don't know. It reminded me, my mom's shop used to be, we had a cross stitch yarn spinning, yeah. I don't know, all of the things shop. And directly next door was one of the friendly local game stores that did get into kind of the really weird role playing stuff.
Yeah, this was decades ago. So it wasn't necessarily your run of the mill friendly local game store.
Yeah,
it was dark.
It was pretty dark.
Yeah, like figuratively and literally, the lights were off a lot in there.
Yeah. And she, man, my mom hated sharing a building with these people.
Man. You could mention that to her today and she would lose her mind.
Man. And it was, I mean, so that was like a spiritual feud going on all the time. And these types were like in and out of there all the time. And it just reminded me, I was like, oh man, that guy's going to the gamer's vault today.
Anyway. So fast forward to this Bethel clip and you're like, dang, that person's on stage. Like, this is happening right now. It's like, what's the healthy balance? That's the final question.
Well, I don't know. I don't know that lady I would classify as going into the gamer's vault today. She was,
I don't know, man. She might go.
I don't know.
But we have to define what's a healthy balance between your life as a nerd and your theology and or religion or whatever, however you want to define that, like your belief system.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me as a Christian, it's constantly a balancing act. You know, am I leaning too much into my nerd or am I, you know, leaning too much into my, you know, my Christianity, which some people would say that's never a bad thing. But I have to keep the balance because with Love Thy Nerd, we are trying to change the preconceived notions that the church has with nerd culture and nerds have with church culture. So if ever I lean too heavy in one area at the wrong time, it breaks. Mm-hmm. And so it is a balancing act. But I can say without a shadow of a doubt that this video in question, severely out of balance. definitely dancing on the other side of the line.
Mm.
So
a little weird.
Yeah. Well, hey guys, we're going to take a really short break, and when we come back, we're going to have more church nerds. We're going to give you our nerdy recommendation for the week. I bet you'll never guess what it is. And we're also going to hit you with the church nerds memory verse right here on Back Row Radio.
Tiger uppercut!
We are back with Church Nerds to close out the show, and today's nerdy recommendation is
Lord of the Rings.
What?
Read some books,
get
people.
Or watch a movie. Or a cartoon.
Do both.
Or
cartoon.
Depending on when you listen to this in the future, not in the now, but Amazon is in the process of creating a live action television series.
For Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
So Netflix is doing, potentially, Chronicles of Narnia, which we want to talk about as well.
Man, I'm here for that. Let's go.
And Amazon's doing Lord of the Rings? What is the deal? Interesting.
They're great. So really not a whole lot on that. Just go read a book or watch a movie.
Probably you've done that, but
I mean,
some people do not like Peter Jackson's interpretation. I'm talking about you, Ben Wyatt, Parks and Rec. I didn't appreciate Peter Jackson's interpretation. But maybe for me, they're just very nostalgic. Also, again, Legolas the elf, if you're listening, I love you forever.
Oh my gosh. She's married.
Anyway, they're so good. I really do like the movies. The Twin Towers is not a thing. The Two Towers,
yeah, not that I'm aware
is
of.
Probably my least favorite, but there's still just so much. I don't know. They're really good. And they were in the age when like CGI was getting good and makeup, like Jim Henson, it is not.
Yeah.
So,
well, and if you got 3 weeks to kill, you can watch the extended editions.
Okay. So, yeah, we had the extended editions and we had all of the appendices. Mm-hmm. And so I have watched all of those things about the making of the Lord of the Rings and the Weta workshops and all of this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it is
fascinating.
It's fascinating. Totally fascinating.
And I would recommend if you've been in the Lord of the Rings ecosystem for a while, but you've not yet delved into the Silmarillion, it's a tough read.
I think that's like black belt nerd level.
It really is.
What's after black belt? Double black belt?
Blacker belt. Black hole belt.
Onyx.
No, you're moving
noir.
Away. Noir belt. It is a tough read because it's not written as a novel.
Right.
It's a collection of like short stories
about
lore.
Because it was edited and published posthumously.
Yes.
By Tolkien's son, Christopher.
Yeah.
Tolkien.
And so I would say go, like all of the stuff I shared with you about the origins of Gandalf, that's from the Silmarillion.
Yeah, that's not really in. Like,
you're not going to
find. You only need to know these things if you want to know them, kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, when you read the Silmarillion, you'll go back and you'll watch or read some of the Lord of the Rings stuff, and those words will come out, and you'll be like,
and you'll have the context and go, oh,
I know that word.
I know
that's
that
where
is
that
now.
Came from.
That never made sense before this moment.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, some of those words are in the scene where Gandalf stamps the staff.
Yes, they are.
So go ahead and do that. But hey, we also have our Church Nerds memory verse for the week. Anna, what is it?
All right. So this week we're going to talk about first, well, not talk about, just memorize it.
We'll
people.
Talk about you memorizing.
Think about it. Yeah. Write it on your bathroom mirror. I don't know what you do.
I don't know what you do. You're a post-it lady.
If they put this in a Dr. Seuss book, I got it.
Okay.
I'm good at memorizing Dr. Seuss. Could it just rhyme more?
No.
I don't know how to make this rhyme. But here's what it actually is. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. And so if we're talking about this in context, this is written to the Thessalonian church, which there's kind of two churches in contrast here. Yeah. We've got the Berean church where Paul goes and they have sort of an open mind, but are testing everything he's saying against scripture and they end up believing. And then you've got the Thessalonican church that they just come and try to wreck shop on the Bereans and they are not fans. Well, not the church, I guess, of Thessalonica, but the people.
People of, yeah.
They're not big fans of it, but Paul is writing to the church of Thessalonica. Hey, you know the Bereans? They've got it going on.
Do what they do. Yeah, the Bereans are like poster children for, you know, how we should be acting.
Yep.
There you go. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, but test everything, hold fast what is good. And I think that's perfect for this. When weird stuff happens.
And, I mean, before you throw something out or before you cast out the spirit of racism in the church with a wizard staff, test everything.
Yeah. Probably an Amazon Prime wizard staff.
Hey.
Well, hey, be sure to check us out online at lovethynerd.com for amazing articles on all things nerdy, as well as this show and our other podcasts and videos. And if you would like to directly support our mission, which would be absolutely dope, and become a financial partner with us, please go ahead and visit lovethynerd.com/partner. We are a qualifying 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible. You can also find us on social media at Love Thy Nerd on all major platforms, as well as right here on Back Row Radio each and every Friday morning. And you can also follow us on Twitter at ChurchNerdsLTN. Let us know, tweet us, hit us up. We still got games we want to give away. I'm not doing one this week, but we have some that we want to give away. Mm-hmm. So if you'll tweet this out, just retweet it, we'll maybe put you in the drawing to win the copy of Disney's Villainous that we have from last week. So we had a bot and Back Row Radio retweet. Those don't count. I'm not giving Back Row Radio my games. Get out of here. It's not happening.
A little too close.
Yeah. Nepotism. Well, once again, I'm Bubba.
I'm Anna.
And we'll catch you next week on another episode of Church Nerds. And as always, if no one else tells you this, I promise it's true that Jesus loves you, nerd.